If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What we normally do before we record this podcast is we say, let's have 10 minutes.
And we've not done that.
But I've not given her 10 minutes.
No, you've given me nothing.
I've had plenty of time.
What's that about?
You've been... She's been away to Copenhagen, Denmark. Sorry, I keep knocking that. Copenhagen, Denmark, is that the same place?
Yep.
It's Copenhagen Denmark.
Copenhagen is the capital.
Is it?
Of Denmark, yes.
A learning.
It's where the Queen lives.
So we haven't seen each other for a week.
For a week.
You're sat there topless.
You know what you're doing.
I do. I haven't seen her for a week. She walked through the door. I've got tiny little kind of camp shorts on.
I've got shorts on. We felt our legs rub against each other.
Oosh.
Oosh.
So there's been no physical contact for quite some time. And I thought, oh, I'll take my top off, you know, get her all revved up.
It's working, just good. To let you know that.
So she's doing her 10-minute prep while we're recording.
I'm freestyling.
I'm only kidding. I've got so many things to talk about in my reminders list, which I've now got back on top of.
How many?
17 things in the list. Just for context, we only normally get through 3 or 4 things each, so I've got a lot. So we can either do lots of small things, or we can
There's so many things. I'd say lots of small things.
Lots of small things,
yes,
okay.
Because I've got a lot.
Can I start with one thing?
Can we start with what I just did?
Yes.
Yes.
What did you do?
Threads.
She's just joined Threads.
Yes.
We've both joined Threads this morning.
Can I say very quickly about it? I've literally done it seconds ago. Firstly, because it feels like family already because it's owned by Instagram.
Yeah, and we're already Instagram people, aren't we?
We're in Instagram.
Yeah.
We're Instagram people. It's got the Instagram sort of logo sort of
thing. Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that.
And
it's nice.
It feels like home already.
Yeah.
I think the big problem with any other kind of competitors to Twitter has been that it feels like too alien, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But because... you've got your profile on. If you're on Instagram, you literally just take your whole profile and everything and just
migrate
it over to Threads. You can follow all the people that you follow on Instagram, which hopefully at this point will be people that you like. If not, you need to go and sort that shit out. But I think it's clever. Already I'm quite like it. I've sent my first thread. It's exciting.
So I first followed, my first one was David Baddiel.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was quite good. And his was on Threads because we are pawns playing out a strange, possibly apocalyptic battle between two tech dictator types. Mm. And I've gone along for the shits and giggles. Mm. It does feel a bit like that because I have to say, I really like Elon Musk. And I appreciate there's people out there that don't. Fair enough. We don't need to get in debate about that. But I do feel like I've slightly betrayed him now by joining Threads. I don't use Twitter ever, really, because it's too fucking angry, basically.
Quite scary.
But since he took over, I thought, you know what, I think I might give it another whirl because I get the feeling it seems to be cleaned up. There's lots of 90% of all the bots have gone, 90% of all the spam accounts have gone.
Have
you know
they,
that.
Really?
Yes, they really have. Mm. Because you can't have a Twitter account without a phone number and a credit card, and a bot doesn't have those two things.
Okay.
So you've instantly eliminated all that. And then obviously when you're getting people to pay for it, a bot isn't going to pay to have an account.
No.
So the whole idea about verification, I think, is a good thing if you want a fairly clean social media platform. Anyway, I was like, and then Andy rang me this morning. He said, come on, MD London, let's own Threads for the world of hair. And I was like, this is a great idea. Let's do it. Anyway, we've done it and I'm feeling a bit guilty.
Don't feel guilty. These guys don't give a shit.
I know they don't, but I do.
Okay. Well, that's because you are the nicest person I have ever met. This is why I am with you.
My empathy is continually abused by people.
It is. Especially by Elon. Mm,
yeah, probably.
I mean, I think, you know, Elon Musk wanted to own Twitter to change it and get it cleaned up. And I think he felt like it was a good social thing to do for social media.
It
massively backfired on him. I don't know what happened. PR-wise, it was just a disaster. People universally hated him, staff hated him, just everybody hated him. And it doesn't matter what kind of a person he actually is. I don't know him, I don't know who he is, but he just looked, it looked bad. So, and couple that with the fact that Twitter is a very frightening place to be. And, you know, when there's a pylon, fuck me.
Yeah. I mean, he's got nerves of steel. Musk, I think.
But this will happen again on Threads.
I'm sure it will.
People bully people everywhere. It's
if people are interested in this, I listened to an interview recently. It's 1 hour and 7 minutes long, and it's with a YouTube channel called The Babylon Bee.
What's that?
Now, Babylon Bee is like a satirical account on Twitter. So it says kind of funny, obvious things with a bit of nuance and a bit of satire and stuff like that. So it's comedy,
is it
basically.
Real?
So it's two guys who are real, but they pretend to take a political stance on things for comic effect.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's funny.
Satire.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, it's a bit like...
I understand.
They cracked a joke on there as, you know, a piece of satire, and they were banned from Twitter. Twitter removed their account.
Oh.
So Elon Musk reinstated them and then gave them an exclusive interview. So they've gone to the Twitter HQ and they sit down with Elon Musk for an hour.
Wow.
And they get to ask him everything about... Why did he buy Twitter? Is it worth it? All the rest of it.
Oh, wow.
It's a really brilliant interview because he does say, basically, I didn't want to buy it in the end. I was totally ripped off. It was a mistake and I would have pulled out if I could. But legally, I just couldn't in the end and I had to pay 44 billion quid for it. And here we are, you know. He said, so I bought it, so I had to do something about it, you know. But it's a really good interview and it's really fascinating.
44 billion.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, all the advertisers left, loads of people left and all the rest of it. But actually, everybody's come back. One thing he does describe it as, he said, when I bought Twitter, it was like being in an aeroplane that was in a complete nosedive to Earth at 500 miles an hour and all the engines were on fire and I'm on board. He said, that's what it was like when I walked in the building. It was chaos. And he said, and Twitter HQ, not a single person was in Twitter HQ. Everybody worked from home. So he said, I walked in that day with that kitchen sink and I tried to find the board, tried to find all these different departments. Nobody's in. It was like, what the fuck is going on here? And it was losing $8 million a week in revenue every week. And he said it was just horrific. But there's a very interesting thing that Jack Dorsey, who owned Twitter, did say, because it was a publicly owned company,
yes.
It was impossible to reform.
Yes.
Because you've got legal obligations to your shareholders.
Yes.
And to reform it would have been making illegal choices against your shareholders.
Right.
So the whole thing would have been an endless lawsuit. So it had to become private for it to become reformed. Anyway, there's loads of information there. If you hate Elon Musk, I'd really like you to listen to this interview.
Can I just say something? Mm. I have realised this because when I said about the Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling being a balanced podcast, that a lot of people who hate J.K. Rowling just won't listen to it because you don't want to hear her side of the story.
Yeah.
You don't. The reason why I said it was balanced because they talked to trans activists. They talked to lots
balanced,
of different people,
you know.
And Megan Roper finishes with that amazing question.
Yeah.
What if you're wrong, JK? You know, what if you're wrong?
It's brilliant.
And she does give her a hard time, and JK Rowling answers how she answers or whatever. But what's sad is that I don't like or dislike Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
There are bits about him that I quite like, and there are bits about him that freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
But because I'm in that middle ground, I am prepared to listen.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are bits of J.K. Rowling that I don't necessarily agree with, but I don't agree with what's happening to her.
No, no.
So what I think is sad is you're saying listen to this interview, which I definitely am going to listen to, because I'd quite like to hear what on earth he was thinking or what is he doing with Twitter or what's going on. And these guys sound quite funny. But it's a shame that the people that hate Elon Musk won't learn anything about him, because they don't want to hear anything that might be interesting in case it changes their mind. I feel like on both sides of the spectrum of hate and love, we must listen. Just like if you love somebody, you must listen to a podcast that maybe throws shade on that
exactly.
person, because you can't make an informed decision if you don't know all the facts.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with fucking with free speech, is that we're not getting all the facts ever, or you're not accepting to listen to all the facts, and then how are we ever going to make a decision?
What I loved about the Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling, regardless of the subject, it is exactly how an audio documentary should be made.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's a brilliant audio documentary.
You take away the subject and put any subject in it.
Yeah.
That Megan Phelps Roper that
she's
made
amazing.
It. And that, I think it's called...
Free Press.
The Free Press have done an amazing job. It needs to win awards everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because that is the standard of a documentary.
Gold standard.
Audio documentary. Absolutely. So the Elon Musk thing is called The Babylon Bee Talks with Elon Musk at Twitter headquarters. One of my problems with Elon Musk is that he's never particularly challenged. He's never being interviewed by somebody challenging him. So the guy at the BBC did, and he obviously ripped apart. Yeah. But I feel like it would be nice... You know, most people who interview him like him and want to hear what he's got to say. But it'd be very nice for someone to sit down with him and say, I don't think you're right about that. Explain yourself, you know.
But it would be nice if somebody did that without... I always think if you don't like somebody and you want to challenge them, don't challenge them with hatred.
Yeah, yes.
Challenge
them
with good questions, that you would like answers to. And they might not give you the answers that you're hoping to hear that will make you continue to hate them.
Yeah.
But this is again what we're missing, because journalists often approach an interview with somebody who is universally hated with this thing of, I'm expected to grill this person in a manner that will make them uncomfortable and feel on the back foot. But you don't get anything out of someone when they're defensive.
No,
I know that from doing interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen some terrible interviews where you just know the person hates the other person.
Yeah, and you're not going to get anything out of that. But yes, ask them challenging questions. Mm. I mean, I thought that Oprah Winfrey interview with Harry and Meghan would have been a very good opportunity for her to ask. Because you knew that she was friends with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But so she could have asked those difficult questions to them and got an answer without them... being defensive. It would have been so interesting.
Yeah,
it
was appalling.
I was disappointed by that.
And then the other thing is, you can watch Elon Musk talk at his shareholder meetings, where you're not allowed to lie to your shareholders, obviously. Mm. You know, so you get a very kind of open view of...
Oh, I've seen him in those.
All the things he get. You know,
we
tried this
and
it went wrong, and we did
and
it got right, and all the rest of it. And they're a very challenging interview. Anyway, Threads. I'm happy to be on it. I can't wait to see what happens.
We've just done a good 15 minutes.
Yes, I know. I don't realise that.
How many times could we get cancelled for that 15 minutes?
Yeah, well, let's see.
Elon Musk haters, J.K. Rowling haters,
So if you want to follow us on Threads, you're Davina McCall, presumably.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm MD London. I'm trying to do it as a place for hair. So I'm not just going to send witty,
I've got no fucking
funny
idea what
jokes.
I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
So if you want hair advice, then that's where we're going to try and do that as a text-based hair advice scheme for MD London. So,
oh, I love that.
And I'm going to try and do 20 minutes, half an hour
every day
of just answering questions from people on Threads.
Oh, that's so good.
And hopefully that will be our little... That'll be a place where
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah,
after
please
this.
Do, please do. So, last night, you don't know this, I watched the Wham! Documentary on Netflix.
Oh, Andrew Wiggly.
Yeah, Wiggly Spearmint Gum. Yes, it's really good. Netflix have done a great job. What is interesting is Pikes, isn't it? Obviously, when they go and shoot Club Tropicana, we were there.
God.
And they're actually at that table that me, you and Jason were all sat around.
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. It actually looks exactly the same. You know, it's just like, oh, my God, we were there just a couple of weeks ago, you know. So that's really good. It's just really interesting. So you've got George Michael narrating and Andrew Ridgely narrating. They obviously narrated a story of their lives, you know, back in the 90s by the sounds of things. And they've taken all that audio, putting loads of archive together. And I got to say, I loved it. I was eating a lasagna last night. And as I went to cut my lasagna, I would pause the telly, eat it, and then press play. Because I didn't want to miss anything about it. Because there's two or three things about Wham! For our generation is clothes, hair, the kind of music that was going on around the same time as Wham! And just the 80s generally, just how unique a decade it was.
Really
there has
was.
Never been a decade like it in our lifetime, I don't think.
No.
Everything's been a derivative of everything before. But the 80s was the last unique decade. And God, I miss it so much. It was so nostalgic. And also, it underpinned just what a talent George Michael was.
Oh.
There's a brilliant interview with Elton John at the Ivor Novello Awards. George Michael wins the Ivor Novello Songwriting Award back in 1985 or something. And Elton John says, look, everyone's slightly taking the piss out of George Michael. You have no idea how good this guy is. But he said, I'd put him up there along with me, David Bowie, John Lennon.
Yeah,
I agree. And he said, if me and David Bowie had access to the talent that George Michael's got, God knows what we could have done. And you think, oh, wow.
That's just
so nice. And then it's got the bit at Live Aid where Elton John brings out George Michael's and they sing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
I literally just got goosebumps.
And it's just like... oh, fuck, I'd forgotten all about this. You know, of course, we've just had Elton at Glastonbury dedicating that song to George Michael.
Wow.
So the whole thing's like come full circle. They've done such a good job. I couldn't recommend it enough. It's about an hour and 32.
He was the nicest guy. And Andrew Ridgeley, I've only met him once, but he was also the nicest guy.
He seems an absolutely selfless person because he obviously could see what was happening with George Michael. One of the interesting one of the disappointing things, I think, is that you don't get enough of Andrew Ridgeley, I think, in it. It's like a documentary about George Michael and Wham.
Right,
Where you get Andrew Ridgeley's insight. But actually, I'm really deeply interested in Andrew Ridgeley.
Well, he was half of Wham, he wasn't.
Yeah, and Wham wouldn't have existed without him.
Mm.
But what very quickly starts happening is George Michael just starts to pull away because his songwriting is so superior and so brilliant.
Well, that first solo album,
Andrew Ridgeley has to kind of let him go. So there's a very interesting bit about Careless Whisper that is a song they wrote together long before they got famous and they pitched it around everywhere, couldn't get a record deal for Love No Money with it. But obviously further on down the line... He did
get rights to that, I hope, Andrew Ridgeley.
I don't actually know, but in America, they put it out as a Wham song featuring George Michael.
Yeah.
Because they wanted Wham to hit America. But actually, in the UK, it was released as a George Michael solo song. So there's lots of funny little intricacies like that that you think, oh, God, yeah. But when you see him and listen to Careless Whisper in the full effects of the... You think, what a fucking good song. You know, what a great song.
I mean...
Everything about it, the lyrics, that saxophone, the hook. Oosh!
Yeah.
It was so, so good. So I won't prattle on about it anymore. It's on Netflix. Loads of people have probably seen it already. But if you were born in the 70s or the late 60s, you will just... It'll fill your heart with nostalgic joy. But try not to eat at the same time as watch it. Or don't double screen. You know, just like watch it. Because I went to bed really happy last night as a result. And obviously it's like,
oh, that is...
Yeah. And you obviously, you know full well what happens to George Michael.
Yes.
But that's the thing that I felt, well, the only thing that was lacking is that I would have loved to just hear more about Andrew Ridgeley's feelings around. You get a bit of it, but you don't really get it. And I also would have loved to have seen...
I find that quite sad in a way that he... You know, in the band, he was slightly kind of the secondary figure. And then, have you got notifications on for Threads?
I'm getting more Threads. Yeah.
Okay. That I think...
Airplane mode on. Yeah.
That he deserves more than that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, man, like...
But what's interesting is that he lets George go.
Yeah.
He sacrifices himself...
He sees.
For the brilliance of George. And
oh God, I love him
there's
even more
something
now.
Bloody beautiful about that. Yeah.
Okay. I've got a very quick one.
Uh-huh.
This brand, I freaking love this band. They're called rockinggypsy.com. Mm-hmm. If you are going on holiday, if you just want to be super comfy and look super sexy during the summer, if you want to go to any kind of festival anywhere, it's like the festival wear.
They're a bit kimono-y.
What I like about them is that they've got very few items.
Okay.
There's hardly
it's
any.
It's like a menu with three
I've
meals on it.
I bought the dress that I got here.
Oh, okay, nice, yeah.
Feel it. It's really good quality. At the back, there's a kind of... It's backless.
I love this on there.
And it's backless, and it's got these kind of beads around the back that make it look super pretty. And it's like got a tie-dye finish to it.
Nice.
It's the low back maxi dress. That's what it's called. It's kind of higher cut at the front and lower at the back. I'm going to model it and put it on the Making the Cut podcast page.
Okay, great. Yep.
But it's lovely, kind of floaty maxi dresses. There's jumpsuits. There's lots of tie-dye. It's sexy. It's hippie. There's an amazing beach bag. I think they've sold out. Yeah, they've sold out the beach bag. But it's just a really chic brand. So I'm going to quickly tell you, it's called rockinggypsy.com. So rockinggypsy.com. And then on Instagram, let me see if I can find them on contact. Is it? Have they got? No. I'm going to try and find them on Insta now. But they are kind of around £150 for a dress. But I have to say that they are very good quality. Like it's you're getting the quality that you deserve. So they're just called Rocking Gypsy. on Instagram. Nice. And they've got lots of ideas, and you can see their page is really aesthetically pleasing as well.
So it's anyway, like you wear a bikini under this and stuff like that on holiday.
Well,
and all
I wouldn't wear a bikini under it. I think like a backless dress with no bikini underneath is really nice.
Okay,
I mean, pants, obviously.
Okay.
Your naked. Little face then. Yeah. Like,
Perked up a bit, hasn't it?
But it's... you could definitely wear it anywhere, but I would say it's specifically brilliant for festivals and holidays and just hot weather in general. But Rocking Gypsy on Insta, and I would imagine Threads, and also rockinggypsy.com online.
Very good. Right. I have got an Instagram account for you that my son put me on touch with.
Oh, yeah.
And I just really like it. He's got 953,000 followers.
Yeah.
And he is, what does he say? He's called Big Manny Science.
Yeah.
And he's a video creator. He's on TikTok at big.manny. Number one. He's called Big Manny One. Okay. So basically, he's got a BSc and an MSc in biomedical science, this guy. And he does science experiments, basically trying to encourage kids to get involved in science.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Is it too late for our kids?
No. Demonstrations for the pupils so they don't find it difficult. Grab the sodium in the water, bear smoke just like a sauna. Stand back right in the corner, then I zoom in on the camcorder. Exothermic, bare heat, see the fire, that's bare degrees. Went uni, got 2 degrees, and I might go for the PhD. Okay, so
oh my god!
Man's got one aluminium tennis racket there and one gallium fidget spinner in it. And we're going to destroy the tennis racket using the gallium fidget spinner. So first, we need to melt the gallium metal using this heat gun in it. Now, gallium has a fourth lowest melting point of any metal in the whole world at only 30 degrees Celsius. But gallium boils at 2,400 degrees. That means it has one of the largest differences between melting point and boiling point out of all the elements in the whole world, cuz. Mad thing. All right, cool. So now we've got to sand down the outside layer with a racket so that we can see the shiny aluminium and that, you know what I'm saying? Because, all right, so we're going to use a little pipette to pick up the liquid gallium in it. And then we're going to slap it onto the tennis racket and that, you know what I'm saying? Shiny thing and that, because you done all, man. So we're going to leave that for a few minutes and that. And then when we come back here, the thing mash up, fam, you know what I'm saying? Gallium-induced structural failure. That's what it's called, innit? Because obviously the gallium, yeah, it stops the aluminium metal from bonding together and that. So obviously all the aluminium atoms separate, innit? And then the gallium interferes and that, you know what I'm saying, fam? The bonds got broke up and that, because, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God, no, but I'm serious. This is so...
Right, cool. Man's got one lithium battery there. And some lemon juice in it. I'm going to react them together and see what I want.
Lithium.
So the lithium that's in this battery is in the form of foil, and it's way more reactive when it's in the foil thing because it's got a larger surface area to volume ratio in it. So that means that more of the lithium is exposed, so it's going to react with the lemon juice and that in it. All right, cool. So we're going to fold it up now, yeah? Then we're going to pour up some lemon juice, you know what I'm saying, yeah? Then we're going to react them together and see what I want. All right, cool. Lithium into the lemon juice, yeah? You see what I'm saying? Red flames and that. It's a mad thing, cuz. So lithium, yeah, when it burns with a nice red flame in that, you know what I'm saying? Now, lithium metal can burn at a temperature of over 2,000 degrees Celsius. And this beaker is made from borosilicate glass. And it can withstand temperatures of only up to 1,600 degrees. That's why it started cracking up in that, you know what I'm saying? It's peak, fam. Man, gotta get a new thing. And you see all that gas that's being released? That's hydrogen gas, flammable thing, innit? Now, the reason why hydrogen is being released is because the lithium metal is giving this one electron to the hydrogen ions in the lemon juice, innit?
Oh,
and when the hydrogen ions receive the electron,
it's just brilliant, isn't it?
They turn into hydrogen atoms, you know what I'm saying? That's why we're seeing bare smoke.
It's like a clash of cultures or something. But it's so appealing on so many levels.
I mean, I think the thing for me is that... it's making science cool.
Oh my God, and like proper cool.
I would say that there are probably a lot of kids in school who probably quite like science, but are too embarrassed to say they like science.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they might not be embarrassed to pay attention or do something because this guy's making it. I can't tell you
how... I love that song that he does about like what he's up to and where he works and how he's doing all that.
So
it's like,
happy.
I totally agree. Like, the world needs more of this guy and other guys like him, right? It's just so good. So... well done, Big Manny One. We absolutely bloody love you. And thanks to my son for like stumbling across it.
That was
So it's a great
Instagram. Oh my
God,
that is so good.
People, let's get him to 1 million followers as soon as possible, please, on Instagram. So go and follow Big Manny One. Tell your kids about him and all that jazz. And I think he's absolutely banging.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I have had a lot of friends recently lose people they love.
Yeah.
And, God.
It's okay.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Mm.
I never know when...
when it's going to come. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
They are good friends of mine, and or people struggling with the idea of losing people,
mm-hmm.
or it's really fucking frightening. Anyway, I came across in my page, in my For You page, an account, and actually, weirdly, they had messaged me before asking me to do something, but it got lost. I get so many messages on Instagram that once it gets lost down the page, I don't see it, but it's an account called Untangled Grief. And it's basically lots of people sending in their messages of how they deal with grief or meet people who relate. So it's lots and lots of people who are grieving, which I quite like that idea that they are going through something. But there was one that I listened to the other day that was so hard-hitting for me. And there's lots of writing as well, lots of things to read that's really nice. But this one I absolutely loved. I think it's because he lost his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I related to it because I lost my sister.
It was about grief. And to talk about grief because it's such a huge part of life that we don't talk about enough. I'm supposed to be getting ready for a date right now. I already pushed the date back by 30 minutes because I don't want to cancel because I'm excited. But I just started missing my brother. And every time I go on the first date, which is... a lot because I'm putting myself out there because I want to be dating, but it's hard because it's like I pull up my grief to every table I sit at, and I'm like, when is he gonna ask me about my siblings? When is family gonna come up? And I'm like, oh my god, I'm tired, and I miss my brother. And something that happens when I miss my brother is I want to call my other brother and my mom and all my cousins and talk about how much I miss him. But I can't. I don't actually want to do that because then we'll all be crying. And yes, it's nice to all share in that moment and miss someone together. It's like, bitch, I gotta get ready for a date. But it's a very lonely feeling. And I know other people feel it too, which is why I like talking about it. On a little platform here. I can't even... It's gonna be okay. But... what am I gonna wear?
What am I gonna wear?
Oh, crikey, all right. It tipped me over the edge there.
No, but what I love about it is that if you do need a cry, if you love someone and you've lost someone and you need to have a weep, oh my God, Untangled Grief is your place.
You sometimes need someone to help you have a weep, don't you?
Oh my God, and it's so...
yes,
lovely and healthy, isn't it, to have a little...
Yeah, do you know, very weirdly, I had a little cry during the Wham thing last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I still don't understand why particularly, but there was something about it that triggered something in me. And it might just be that I sometimes miss the past, you know, like the 80s and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
nostalgia's
also,
incredibly powerful. Well, that's grieving, that's grieving.
But maybe there was something about George Michael's situation that I felt was very sad that, you know, he was living a lie, essentially, you know.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, why am I started crying? What a weird thing. Yeah. You know, like, because I'm not a big George Michael fan or anything, but it was just the fact that you see a human being struggling a bit and you think, oh, fuck. So what's it called again? Sorry.
It's called Untangled Grief. Uh-huh. It's got 141,000 followers.
Mm.
You can get daily exercises to help you cope. You can meet people who relate. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the advice that I give to friends of mine is, you know, just there's no fucking right or wrong with grief.
Oh.
I've got friends of mine who say, I feel absolutely fine. It's so weird. I'm not crying at all. I said, you might never cry. Mm. You might cry in the most inappropriate place ever. Mm. I mean, just like me, even saying the word untangled grief earlier.
Me too.
But it brought it up. Yeah. Like, I don't know when it's going to hit me. And it's right and it's lovely to remember people, and it's right and lovely that it moves you. But I love this site. It really helped me.
That's
and
funny.
you will love it, Michael.
Thank you.
Anybody that's struggling with grief or anybody that's going through any kind of grief will love it.
Yeah, music's very helpful for that. So it can really just trigger what you need.
Absolutely,
you know, that Into My Arms song.
Oh, my God.
By Nick Cave. Oh, I can't listen to that without really going for it. But it's funny you say you don't know when it's going to come. I lost a good friend of mine when he was 40, fell down some stairs and banged his head and died. And then I did a reading at his funeral and everything. But I remember thinking, I really miss him, but I don't seem upset by it or anything. And then I sat in Ed's Diner on Old Compton Street once, where we used to go for lunch, and I had a hot dog, and I just like sobbed. You know, it was such a weird thing. I was like, the fuck am I doing in Ed's Diner over this fucking hot dog, crying about Dave? He died like 3 months ago, you know. So it was very, very strange, you know.
And nice, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I feel like now when I cry, it's like, I don't know, there's a thing in church, I think, where you say it's meet and right so to do. Like, it is the right thing to...
Yeah.
You've loved somebody, it's right to hurt. You know, I hope that people will remember me when I'm gone, you know, in a nice way. Yeah, not be dancing on my grave.
Okay, that leads me into two things I want to talk about.
Yes.
The first one is, there was something I recommended probably about 2 years ago now called The Midnight Gospel.
Yes.
Which is a series that's on Netflix. And it's an animated series of podcasts that this guy makes. And the guy has these conversations with himself and with other people and experts, mainly about kind of things like psychedelic drugs and grief and all the different kind of feelings and emotions. And they've been animated in this very weird, cool 60s way. So you're essentially watching a 20-minute cartoon of a podcast where they're talking about these very complex existential issues around life, the universe and everything.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen them or not, but God, they're so, so good, you know. So I started watching them in lockdown, so my kids put me onto them, and I was like, bloody hell, these are good, you know. But I just drifted away from them, you know, like you do in the end of watching something else, and I never finished The Midnight Gospel. Anyway, I saw Joel watching it.
I think I did see some.
Yeah. I saw Joel watching it the other day, and I was like, God, is this The Midnight Gospel? I never finished it. And he said, yeah, have you ever seen the final episode? And I was like, no. And he said, it's a conversation he has with his mum. They've animated him and his mum. And I was like, oh. Anyway, I didn't watch it then. And then I spoke to my brother, Grant, and he said, have you ever seen the final episode of The Midnight Gospel?
Oh, wow, this is
like,
a sign. It's a sign.
I said, and he said, I sobbed all the way through it. And I was like, okay, I've got to watch it. His mum has stage 4 terminal cancer. And he talks to his mum about his life. He talks to his mum about his birth, what it was like to be born, what it was like for her giving birth to him. And they go through this. It's only 20 minutes long, this journey of their life. Anyway, she is a very spiritual person, I'm guessing, who's done all sorts of psychedelic therapies and all sorts of things. And she tries to convince her son about how to be in the moment, not to be in the past, not to think about the past, not to think about the future or try and predict it, but actually live in the now, just in the very present moment. And he says, I just don't know how to do that, you know. Mm. And she says, look at your hand. And then she said, okay, now be inside your hand. Like, imagine what it's like to be inside your hand, you know? And I was like, fuck, okay, you know? And she said, okay, be in your hand and then be in your arm. Describe to me what it's like to be inside your own hand, you know? And he's like, Jesus, I've never done this before. Anyway, she takes him on this kind of journey about how to just be now, like, and nowhere else, to be inside your own body. In the And I was like, God, nobody's ever really explained this to me before about how to be present. Anyway, she sounds like such a wonderful, brilliant human being and such a great mother, and they talk about their life together and all the rest of it. Anyway, I watched it, and obviously me and Joel were both sobbing when we were watching it. Sorry, it's a very weepy episode, this, but I remember thinking, oh, I've got to get people to watch this episode, because I learned really something from it. Mm. And ever since then, I'm trying to take some time. I'm sat on the tube or whatever to try not to listen to music or read the paper or whatever.
It's
to just
so
go like,
hard.
Okay, just close my eyes and be, what is it like to be behind my own eyes, you know, inside my own skull, in my own lungs, you know, like swimming around and just watching the air come in and out of my lungs. And I was like, fuck, it's really, really good. So The Midnight Gospel, you can watch all of it. I'd highly recommend you do, because each episode's a slightly different thing, but it's all themed around the same kind of existential angst that we've all got about what is the meaning of life, you know. They're quite anarchic, you know, and he's got quite a kind of scratchy voice. But the final episode with him and his mother just, I thought, was a bloody work of art. It's so nicely done and beautifully animated. And he describes being born, you know, and then being reborn. And the way she talks about her pregnancy and then giving birth to him and everything, he just thought, what an amazing relationship this mother and son have got, you know. And he's confused by life. And just before she's dying, she's trying to give him all this kind of wisdom and the fact that she's completely fine about dying. You know, she's absolutely come to terms with it. She's lived for 6 years longer than they said she would, you know, but she really is now coming to the end. Anyway, The Midnight Gospel on Netflix. So if you're interested in all that kind of stuff, give it a watch. I just thought it was great.
Wow, fucking hell.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to go light.
Yeah, great.
I feel
okay.
like our listeners need... I'm talking food. So I did a shoot the other day with Tim Spector. And he, as you would expect, had an amazing crew lunch. Now, you know what shit we get fed on jobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quite often.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely rubbish. And we got our food and I was like, oh, my God, this is absolutely amazing. Where is this from? And it was from Peeld. P-E-E-L-D .UK. That is their address. P-E-E-L-D .UK. Their story is their brother and sister.
Oh, this is the poke bowl stuff.
Yeah, Bartek and Gabriella, so they're the founders. I think they're as embarrassed about calling themselves founders as you are.
Yeah, yeah.
They've put AKA the founders in inverted commas. They started a little online business at home making pickles and brownies in the pandemic, and they decided to YOLO. What's YOLO?
Oh, God, I'm going to have to look that up.
YOLO it. You only live once.
Yep.
Yes, YOLO it and open our very own restaurant. Having no previous experience, many told us it's a silly idea. And boy, was it a silly idea. From 18-hour shifts to countless arguments, the food game gave us everything it promised. 2 years later, lots of hard work, fantastic team and a supportive community. Peeled has become one of the most loved healthy food outlets in East London. Their mission is to make healthy food fun again. So they visited lots of healthy food restaurants and they saw a familiar theme. Pretentious atmosphere, overpriced, bland. £8.50 for a salmon bagel, an inspired quote, come on guys. We challenged the status quo. Fun, friendly, accessible atmosphere, all-inclusive menu, flavours that will blow your little socks off. I mean, I love the way they talk. Feel at home no matter where you are or who you are, whether you're a family, gym rat, gamer, celiac, vegan, or on a walk with your dog or cat. You won't feel out of place at Peeled. So that's what Peeled looks like. It's in Walthamstow. And they do, I'm just double checking, do they deliver? Order now. Yes, Deliveroo. They're on Deliveroo they're on Uber Eats. So if you live in London, definitely order a Peeled. I'm going to tell you about their menu. So they do things like their poke bowls. Now, normally I find poke bowls a bit, like they said, bland as hell.
Yes, and a bit dry sometimes.
So dry. You know,
yeah, it's like, whoa.
But they've got things like poke bowls, which is kind of lots of raw food, all very healthy, all absolutely delicious. Tuna. They've got everything you could need. Vegan. They've got kimchi. They've got, I mean, I tried kimchi in this poke bowl and I liked it, and I hate kimchi, and Tim is forever trying to get me to bloody eat fermented foods, and I'm really not that keen on it. But they do smoothie bowls made from acai and mixed berries, and that's really amazing. They've got protein boost, vitamin
Well,
hits,
I had the protein boost, and can I say congratulations on putting actual protein in it, because I'm so sick of going to a place where they give you a protein bowl and you can see there's only about 15 grams of meat in it, or tuna or chicken, and I think
it's not going to give
this
you
is
anything.
Fucking
yeah,
outrageous.
It
you've filled it with salad and barely give me any bloody protein, but these were loaded. I was like, this is more bloody like it, you know.
So if you live in London and you want to eat healthy, go to Peeled or Deliveroo or Uber Eats it, but Peeled.uk are amazing.
Now, the other thing they had there when we were at, with Tim Spector was this company here. Now, I can't, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce
it. Vadaz, I think it is.
Vadaz. Vadaz, it's an S and a Z on the end, but it's vadazdeli.co.uk. And they do these plastic jars of kind of pickles and kimchi and fermented stuff. Did we talk about them? But anyway, they've sent us recently, which I've taken to the studio, a jalapeno relish in in a vinegary stuff, and it's various bits and pieces in it, but it's spicy. But me and Reese made chicken the other day and we both had big dollops of this jalapeno relish. Or is it jalapeno relish?
No.
I've had people laugh at me for call it jalapeno.
No, it's jalapeno. Jalapeno. You're absolutely right.
I was in Subway once and I said, can I have some jalapenos and that? And loads of kids behind me laughed. I was like, what are you laughing at? They went, it's jalapeno, mate.
No, it's not. They are wrong.
Anyway, they do lots of kind of kimchi type stuff. And they do a bowl of fresh pickled red onion. And I bloody love that as well. They do raw kimchi, sauerkraut, stuff like that in the pots. But I just wanted to say thanks for sending me the jalapeno relish, because it's bloody gorgeous. Okay.
Can I just do one more very quickly
sure.
food thing?
Yeah.
So I was talking to Tim about vegetables, and he was saying about, because I get stuck in the same vegetables every week. I just buy the same things. I buy broccoli, peas, sweet corn, sweet potatoes, that's it. So he said, but do you get a box of seasonal vegetables, like from a farm? I was like, no, I don't. Anyway, amazing veg, positive impact. Riverford, because I thought Riverford were only in a specific area, but now they have gone nationwide. So Riverford Organic Farms, Buckfastleigh in Devon, now deliver everywhere. Yeah.
So where Buckfast come from, do you think? I don't know.
I don't know.
Buckfast is Scottish.
So they've got home compostable packaging.
Okay.
So you can compost it at home. They will collect their packaging from your door to reuse. So each veg box can get used up to 10 times. So if you get one a week, leave the box outside, they pick that up, go back and use it again, which I really like. Or to go really naked, try our zero packaging veg boxes. No plastic, no paper, not even a rubber band, just veg. I'd go for that. Like, why do you need that?
Why do you need rubber bands?
They've been farming organically since 1986, but you can go for, I think, a kind of, let me just have a look at their boxes. Sorry, this is what happens when I don't properly. So seasonal boxes, which I really like the idea of. So a seasonal small box at the moment would be new potatoes, onions, rainbow carrots, broad beans, true spinach, batav lettuce, plum tomatoes, and there's a veg box. There's also rhubarb, broad beans, tender stem broccoli. There's loads and loads of different in 3 to 4 you get tons of variety. But it's all seasonal. Now, I do want to try and do more of that, but there's also zero waste surprise bag, 3 different types of organic fresh produce, £6.50.
That's all right, isn't it?
£6.50, that's really reasonable. So anyway, look into that. Riverford, they'll deliver anywhere. It's a really good idea to start feeling better about the way that you consume vegetables. I think it's pretty reasonably priced, and also you can get you can get seasonal food, which is better for your gut.
Okay, just 2 little things then before we finish. The first one is Ziha Berlin, the shoes. I've got someone got in touch with me from Brighton, and he's got his own shop, and it's called Tom Kilgallen.
Tom Kilgallen,
London. And he's got a shop in Brighton, and he looks like he is the exclusive importer of Ziha Berlin shoes, so you don't have to pay the import tax if you buy them from there. So he sent me a message saying, hey, are you enjoying the shoes? So I was like, yeah. And then I looked on his website and I'm like, oh my God, they've got all
your
the Zaha Berlin stuff in there. So
great.
If you're looking for those shoes, which I'm going to buy two or three more pairs of because they're bloody brilliant.
We could go down to Tom's shop. I'd love to go to Brighton. Let's
go to Brighton. We love Brighton.
Yeah, we've got to take Chester.
That sounds great. So just wanted to give that a little mention. And then just one other little thing that I'll just drop in and out of, which is I've started to watch this thing that Andy put me onto on BBC iPlayer called The Parole. And a lot of people might have seen it already, but it's a documentary series
about
people.
That sounds amazing.
And I don't know what it is about it, but it's hooked me in a really interesting way. I'd love to be a parole officer all of a sudden. And also seeing...
Very difficult.
Oh, I can imagine. Extremely difficult
very,
job.
Very
I'm really
job.
Sympathetic. Mm. And obviously seeing these people kind of trying to pitch their way out of prison. Pitch might not be the right word there, so I hope nobody's offended about that. But
it must feel like that. Like, yeah. You know, I'm trying to show you that I'm a better
person. Yeah, I'm a better person, yeah.
And some people genuinely are better people. And some people maybe aren't, you know. And the parole officer's got to decide.
You've got to work that out through
so
an interview.
Hard,
and then,
yeah.
But the production company that made it, I think, have done a fantastic job of drip-feeding to you, the viewer. Because essentially you play the part of a parole officer because you're saying, do I trust this person? Would I release this person? And then they give you other bits of information about what's been happening during their period in prison. And then you think, oh, God, that's really changed things now. So you're on a funny little roller coaster throughout the programme, but they follow two people in each episode. And I'm in episode 3, and I just think, oh, more people should watch this if they haven't seen it. I think it's really good. It's called The Parole. Okay, I
quickly want to say as well, I'm really glad we don't film this. You know how lots of people film their podcasts?
Yeah.
You know, like... Look at us.
Oh, that's terrible. Nobody wants to see this, do they?
I want to see it.
Can you? Yeah, well, you can. Can you get Instagram on your iPad? Have you got Making the Cut on there? No.
I'm just thinking,
let's do a couple of shout-outs each.
Oh, yes.
But
okay.
You can do two and I'll do two. And then there should be all in general. I shall start with the top one, which is Kirsty Darby. Kirsty Darby's Kitchen is what she's called. So I assume she does some cooking on there. And I posted something of me eating a bacon and boursin sandwich when I was in France. Do you know what? Boursin is fucking
brilliant.
It's
fucking great, right?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You can put it on anything and it makes it like 20 times
makes life better. Do you know we were talking about kimchi and Tim taught me how to put kimchi into Philadelphia cheese.
Yeah.
If you put kimchi into boursin.
Anyway, she sent me a picture, and the picture's gone, sadly, so I can't see it, but it says, with boursin, amazing. Also, any chance, pretty please, Davina can let me know where her dungarees were from on Gogglebox.
So, yes, I had a lot of people
I had a lot of people ask me that.
Now, they are from a company, and I haven't necessarily recommended them because I think they are very expensive.
Okay.
And I don't buy much stuff from them, but like you, everybody listening that liked those dungarees. I was like... Ooh, yeah. I really like those dungarees. Yeah. And I've worn them a lot. However, but since then, I've looked online on this company. It's called Retrofit.
Oh, Retrofit. Yeah.
And I know them because I got a couple of dresses for them from the Masked Singer. And I fell in love with them. And now I just kind of gaze lovingly at their site. But it is really spenny. But they do some denim stuff that is a bit more affordable.
Okay.
So it's called Retrofit. Retrofete, but the dungarees aren't on there anymore.
Oh, I was going to say, they're not available anymore.
But they have got lots of that kind of wash, bleach, denim look stuff in the kind of 80s style.
Debop or something like that?
Yeah, maybe Debop.
Yeah.
But it's a retrofit.
Debop or Debop?
I don't know.
Anyway, she says, also, both smashing it, love it, keep it going, genuine high energy motivation. Thank you, Kirsty.
Thank you, Kirsty. So this one's from Sue Stewart, and funnily enough, I actually answered Sue's I answered her message because she sent you, which I know you've seen before, this clip of Alan Partridge.
On the belt.
Put it on the floor because then you'll keep having to bend down to pick it up to put it on the belt. It's a clip of Alan Partridge. And I love the fact that Sue Stewart knew that you would appreciate it.
They know us, don't
So that was very funny.
Andrea Groke.
This is a good way of doing shout outs.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I like it. Let's do this from now on.
Okay.
It says, love, love, love your podcast, which I've only just recently discovered. You two are made for each other. Oh, do you think? Anyway, I've been listening to the last Shadow Puppets album that you recommended. Just wanted to recommend a song that you might like. Check the Meaning by Richard Ashcroft. Oh my God, I love Richard Ashcroft. in case you haven't heard it. I have heard it, but it's a very, very long time ago.
Yeah, oh, that's such a good recommendation.
So I'm going to go and put that on this afternoon, actually. Thank you. Do you know, there's another Richard Richard Ashcroft song called Music Is Power, and I bloody love it.
We should listen to that this afternoon.
Because he's got
this
powerful voice, you know, that he can only sing with power. It's not like he's got any kind of subtlety to it necessarily. But it goes like, music is power. And then it goes, boosh, and you go like, fuck. Like, it is power, isn't it? You know.
Music is a mood-altering drug.
Yeah, it really, really is, isn't it? Thank you, Andrea. I'm definitely going to go and listen to that this afternoon. But The Last Shadow Puppet's my favourite song at the moment. It's called She Does the Woods. And I don't know what it's about or anything like that. But God, it's considering it's made with musical instruments and not like a computer, it's like, wow.
We've got to contact them in some way.
They need a third album, don't they?
Need a third album and we need a tour.
Oh, God,
we need a tour.
So good.
I would travel the world and just follow them all around the world and see the tour like 100,000 times because we know they're not going to do it for another 8 years.
I totally agree. I'd go and see them 10
times.
Yeah,
like 10 times.
Oosh.
Ooh. Okay, Sharon Larkins, last one. Hello, I've got a little recommendation for Michael and his barbecue. Have you ever done a beer can chicken on the barbecue?
Yes. Yeah, you sit it on a beer can. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, this is so funny. So it's and the tastiest way to cook. And then she went, next message, a chicken. Lol, sorry. Press sent too early.
Yeah.
Then she goes again. Yeah. Can you get a can? You can get a can of beer. I'm just going to read this out.
Yes, please, because people need to know.
Yeah, people need to know. You can get a can of beer, open it up, drink half of the can, which is marvellous.
I didn't do that. I think then, I just did all of it.
Then put the can with the remaining beer still in it. Stick it up the chicken's nether regions, lol, and stand it on its now three legs. Or if you can get a special stand for it, you know, if you're posh.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing. Is it amazing,
It is
Michael?
Amazing, yes. Because
isn't that great?
Essentially, the beer evaporates inside the chicken, so you get this slightly kind of beery chicken. And, of course, it doesn't burn or scorch because it's sat on the can, you know. It's really good. Thanks, I'd forgotten all about that, and I've never recommended that. Whistler Barbecues have got in touch with us, though, so I'm going to get back in touch with them. Because
shut up, this is the perk of the job, right?
Yeah, it is good,
like,
isn't it?
We are
lucky. I just want to say to people that we would never talk about anything in order to get something free.
Never.
It just so happens that is a byproduct of it. And we'd only ever talk about things that we want, that we genuinely think you would love.
Yes.
You've got an interview to do.
I have.
I'm going to work out what to wear. We're going out this afternoon.
I'm going to work out what to wear.
Yeah, I don't quite know.
I'm not necessarily wearing this.
Oh, you're not? No.
No, well, okay. I might do, but
The weather looks quite good.
I think it's going to get better.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. This is the best episode we've done in ages.
Ages.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed it, loves. Hope you enjoyed all the crying. And we'll speak to you next week.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.